Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon Franchisor SPV LLC.
Bouncing, bouncing, bouncing with that
drop!
KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
There!
Throw that baby down!
Oh my goodness! What hard? Are you kidding? With some anger!
How did Kyrie get out of that double D?
With the head fake! What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon!
Levine, he goes right
back! Oh! Does anybody know how to post video?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast. Home team Brandon Lee, Brandon B-Dog Harper. Also got Book the Hook and Houston. We are here to talk about a few things going on in the world of basketball. Want to say thanks to the fine folks at Shaq Fu Radio. Shaq and his folks are great people, and you should support what they do. We thank them for supporting us. Also, you can catch the podcast on iTunes and on Spotify. A lot to get to as Team USA makes history for the wrong reasons. We'll get to that. Kevin Durant is talking. Should he be? Should he stop? We'll get to that.
Let's go with the latter part of it.
Rich Paul, he might be leaving the NBA, but not for good. We'll get to that. And then we'll get into some throwback jerseys and some things that are just fun. But first, Team USA, they lose. Some people kind of saw it coming. They lose to France, 89-79 in quarterfinal round play of the FIBA World Cup. This stops a tremendous winning streak by Team USA, a team that had not lost a match. And you just call it a generation. 58 straight wins by Team USA. But you kind of saw it coming. Jason Tatum ends up getting hurt. We don't have the stars of stars. Teams gave us a couple of scares. And ultimately, it ends up with France defeating Team USA 89-79.
You know, as talented as this team is, this is kind of like the USA version of like the B or C side team. They're talented. They're more talented than most of the teams, you know, in the world. But on any given day, you know, on the wrong day, you can get sit home packing, and that's exactly what happened with France. And even, like you say, even with Jason Tatum, if he was there, they don't have the star power to go toe-to-toe and go and make a deep run and win this thing overall, man. They just, you know, they may had a good little run. You know, Kemba, who was the other one?
Spider, yeah.
You know, great players, very good players, very up-and-coming players, but – you know, that's not what we're used to seeing when we have teams to go overseas and represent this country. And, you know, it reared its ugly head.
Man, how many All-Star teams combined did this USA team have on it? Because really the only person that comes to mind to me that has made an All-Star team is Kemba. And on the other side with France, they got guys that have made the All-Star team as well.
Chris Middleton,
good call. My point in saying that is – it's kind of a balanced feel, honestly. So, yeah, you could see this coming. It's not like we had a dominant roster that was just going to blow everybody out of the water. It was going to be competitive basketball out there. And, I mean, we can see that the international field has closed the gap on the USA in basketball.
I see it like this. This shows us, to me, it shows us that we don't have our star power in there. Okay, fine. But our second-tier stars, this shows the difference between what a real superstar is and what just being a star in the NBA is.
No doubt.
Because there's a mentality that goes into a superstar that they already have that we have not seen throughout this international play. So I think it shows us like, yeah, you might be great, but you're not as good as the guys who could just do it whenever. You're not a LeBron. You're not a James Harden. You're not a Russell Westbrook. For that matter, guys who mentally know how to go out there and just figure it out in the last bit of
game. I think what it illustrates is everybody else is sending their best, and we can't beat
everybody else's best without sending our best. And I think finally the world caught up with us. I don't know if any of these teams would be close if we had Steph Curry, or if we had Kawhi Leonard, if we had LeBron James running out there to combat them. But, you know, playing with guys, and it's a double whammy. You hate it for the guys, because are you going to be mad and criticize these guys who wanted to play and represent Team USA, go play for Coach Popovich, go play for Steve Kerr, go play with Lloyd Pierce and do their duty to represent the United States of America, and they lose? Are we going to go off on those guys who wanted to be there when they could have been on a yacht, on a beach, on vacation? So I don't think we need to go in on these guys too hard, but I think hopefully it'll wake up the rest of the guys who maybe had a little extra time and didn't have injuries. Maybe next time we get the opportunity, we'll send more of our big guns.
And a lot of this comes down to chemistry. You know, we've seen over the years when it's come to the Olympics where, you know, we try to just put talent together and we just try to go out talent countries. And it's worked at times, but there have been many other.
It works when you have great players out there, but when you only have your B-level players.
No, but what I'm saying is, even with the B-level players, we feel as though we can put them together and still go beat other countries, because for the most part, even our B-level players, at least separately, are better still than the majority of the world. So what I'm saying is, it comes down to chemistry, because a lot of these countries, their guys have been playing together for a while. I remember when Spain was at the top with Pau Gasol and his brother, all those guys, they say they're finesse, but they know how to pass the ball. They know how to shoot the ball. They know how to play together. And sometimes that chemistry will trump that talent, because when I know where you're going to be, I'm in sync with you. Whereas us, we sometimes combine talent together and say, hey, just roll the ball out there and go. And it works a lot of times, but it only takes one time not to work.
Well, that's the thing. It seems to have always worked, so I believe we've kind of gotten complacent.
Well, 2004 it didn't work.
But that was the last time it didn't work. You got to think about it. They've had at least a gold medal since 2006, and 2004 was that time when they got complacent after the Dream Team era of stuff going on.
Right.
So it's the same process now, so hopefully after this one, then the next one come around, you know, the guys will be more inclined to come play. I'm more upset with the stars, because it's like, what are you doing this offseason? What's going on with you that you don't want to do this anymore? There used to be a point in time where we had pride in representing Team USA, but now that's not there anymore. What's going on that they don't even want to go play?
I don't blame them. I mean,
I do, because they're going to try and say injuries and stuff, but y'all are out playing pickup games and people are getting their ACLs blown out. Hello, Boogie. You're sitting here talking about time with your family and stuff. You still got plenty of time that you've had your vacations and all
Boogie
that.
Boogie wasn't gonna be on that team, no way.
Did they want Boogie?
Well, okay, wrong.
They
couldn't
use him. They don't want Boogie. No way.
They don't want
Boogie. No.
But hey, let me ask y'all this real quick. Like, what do you think? I mean, because this is kind of like a fork in the road. Do you think? I mean, we can go one direction to where players have officially tapped out, and this isn't something that they want to do, or do you think this loss calls those players back? Hey, man, we got to be there for our country to be able to represent on these large stages.
Until the incentives are more, the players, I believe, have tapped out. I don't think it has anything to do with anything else than you're not getting enough of a benefit from it. And you feel like, why not just go ahead and spend that time doing what I want? They're going to want something, whether it's money or a car or whatever. They're going to want something more than just a gold medal and the incentives of winning that.
I think it just takes one. I think guys like playing with other, you know, superstar guys. If Steph Curry wants to do it, or, you know, if one of the superstar players wants to do it, it's a lot easier than when you have lower tier players, you know. So outside of the talent that wasn't there and the talent that was there, watching the games, you know, we didn't represent bad defensive possessions, the missed free throws at the end of the game against France. What are you doing?
Man.
It's still a game with a minute to go, and you can play some defense, get a couple of shots and stops, but the USA didn't execute, and so just the basketball that we played, we deserve to get beat.
And another thing, you know, in regards to, you know, guys not having pride or not wanting to do it, it just boils down to guys wanting their offseason. You know, guys, especially guys who have gone deep into the playoffs, it's a lot of minutes, it's a lot of miles on those legs. Some guys just want to plain rest, and they want to do what they want to do with their offseason. That's just what it boils down to.
How many offseasons in about 5 years do you think that they have to actually commit themselves to Team USA?
I mean, it's not many, but if you're giving me a choice –
I'm telling you, for one, maybe two off seasons in every few years, come and join the national.
Yeah, but
team.
if I'm making a deep playoff run, if I'm on a playoff team and I'm making a playoff run or a championship run, that's a lot of miles extending into the playoffs. We're talking about into June.
I'd agree with that, but those same players are still out playing pickup games and in the gym every single day.
True, but that's my choice. Like, all these guys, it comes down to what they want to do. If some of these all-pros don't – if Anthony Davis doesn't want to do it, Anthony Davis doesn't want to do it. That's his choice.
Kind of like what home team is saying. Like, okay, if there was a big-name player in there, then more would come. It kind of sounds like going into a nightclub. Like, okay, you get there kind of a little bit earlier than you should, and you see, all right, nobody's here. What do we usually do? We want to walk out and go find somewhere else to go.
But I'll be back when it's popping.
Yeah, but when you find out, oh, it's popping, or so-and-so is in there in the corner, now you're intrigued, and now you want to walk in the
door. Let me ask you, do you think we expect LeBron to – were we ever expecting LeBron to ever represent this country again?
No, not LeBron.
No.
Not
okay. And I think in fairness, you know what? That regime, they've already done it. Your Chris Pauls and your Carmelo Anthonys and your LeBron Jameses and your Steph Curry, they've already done it. So the next group, where are they? You know, the young all-stars who are still the best. And so I'm not angry the fact that, you know, we didn't send LeBron James. I just would rather always send our best. But he's already done it. So who's the next crop of guys who are supposed to be as good as LeBron James has turned out to be, who are going to represent the country when we have the FIBA World Championship or the FIBA World Cup and the Olympics show?
But somebody's next, the next crop of guys were on the court.
Only a handful out of a, what, 13-man roster?
Yeah, but you got to look at it.
Were...
But you also got to look at it. Look at some of the best players. We talk about Greek Freak. Greek Freak went to go play for his country.
That's true.
So you're talking about other guys who are some of the best in the league, but some of them are from other countries. They're not all from here.
That whittles down the pool that you got to pick from at that point.
Greek Freak was an all-winning team for France and gave Team USA the business, and that's a really good point. I think, though, I just want the very best. Joel Embiid is supposed to be one of the very best. He's an all-star.
Does Africa have a country? Does Nigeria have a team?
I don't know if he would play for us or if he would play for another country. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is an American.
Yeah.
He's an all-star.
I can see him
not doing
it, though.
So many all-stars. Kyrie Irving.
Paul
George. American. Where was Kyrie? Where was James Harden? Where was Kevin Durant? Now he's hurt. Where's Paul George?
I think Paul still has a, and I know that was the
other
Olympic team.
He might got PTSD from the last time.
Yeah, that's true. Sitting right with him.
I'll give Paul a pass on this, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold off.
He's recovering from an injury. So, you know, you had some superstars and some all-stars that were out injured. But, you know, we did have some guys that didn't go. And I think if Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or Kyrie Irving, if they're there, that's a little bit more firepower. But you have to give, you know, France, they sent Evan Fournier and they sent, you know, Frank Ntilikina out there, and they sent Rudy Gobert out there. They sent the best that they could get, and they gave us the business, and they closed out the game.
I said Nigeria. I meant Cameroon.
Cameroon in the house.
I don't want to think every, you know, African basketball player is from Nigeria. I know it's very.
Wow. I almost corrected you, but I'm glad I didn't, because I was going to be wrong too. I was going to say Angola.
No, Cameroon. My bad.
No Dame Lillard. No Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, there are other all-stars that were available that decided not to go. So what I hope is that this group that did lose, they're not hammered, because I think that will probably weaken the pool. You know, if I go and I sacrifice and then we lose and then everybody's got something bad or they're overly critical about that, you know what? The next time, I'll let somebody else deal with it.
Here's another part of it. How many of us actually even care that this is even going on? Like, outside of us talking about it, how many other shows are really going to – ESPN's going to do it because that's – they're all worldwide. Outside of ESPN, who else is really going to even care to talk about this?
We don't care as much. I think we care because we lost. The funny part is, had we won, people would care less.
We're entitled.
This is what we're supposed to.
We're entitled to this medal.
I'm saying that because the backlash that we're thinking could happen, I don't think it'll come, because I don't think there's enough people that care enough to say, hey, you guys are messed up for going out there and playing like trash.
But it speaks back to the entitlement.
Let it happen next summer. Let it happen in the Olympics.
Yes.
This was just an Olympic qualifier.
Right.
Let it happen in the Olympics next year.
Yep.
There will be a lot more people upset at that point, because that's a actual Olympic Games.
But it's about, like I said, it's about, you know, what we're expecting to happen. We're the USA. We may not have our A+,
But our B plus, maybe even our C, is good enough to roll that ball out there, and we're gonna out talent everybody in the world. And we don't see that happen, we get all up in arms like, what's the issue? Where it's more to this than just talent.
I think it does boil down to the mentality of the players at this point when you get to B and C level. That's what it is, because you had the chance to being the first nation to ever win three in a row FIBA Cups and in the same span three in a row Olympic gold medals at the same time. And you, even though that's, you know, a little victory, I mean, that's something that you let go of. It could have been a motivating factor to go out there and show just how dominant we really are. And y'all wet the bed.
Well, it's all over and done with, and now we're playing for bronze, and they have to play and win that.
No, we're not playing for bronze.
Well, they go to the third place game.
No, as of the article today, fifth place is the best that we can do.
Oh, goodness. So I got that wrong. I thought they were – this was a quarterfinals. The winner went on to the semifinal round, and then you were determined. I thought the loser of this game went to the third round matchup.
That make 0-4 sound a whole lot better then, because 0-4, they took home the bronze.
They actually did better.
Yeah.
So mentality has to do with, you know, what went on. It also has to do with Kevin Durant. I'm starting. I'm going to have to let y'all help me.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Step Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.
Help me understand what's going on. Kevin Durant has gotten up out from the yoke of bondage of the Golden State Warriors. His experience that was so heartfelt and heavy on his soul has now been washed away, and now he's in Brooklyn, and he's still not happy. Can somebody help me understand what he's doing talking to the Wall Street?
This is the perfect time to play Ralph Tresvant. You need a man with sensitivity.
Goodness.
Boy, this dude is sensitive. Oh, my goodness. He's not receiving the love that he wants, and so now he just turns his back on anything.
I'll never be one of those guys. I didn't get drafted there. Steph Curry, obviously, drafted there. Iguodala won the first championship. Klay Thompson drafted there. Draymond Green drafted there. And the rest of the guys kind of rehabilitated their career. So me, bleep. How you going to rehabilitate me? What are you going to teach me? How are you going to alter anything in my basketball life? I got an MVP already. I got scoring titles. What is he talking about? Who is he angry about? And this is just my opinion, okay, D, and I'll let y'all help me. It's not what a man is able to accomplish or what he's able to attain or what he's able to do with his physical attributes. It's what's on the inside of a man that manifests its way on the outside. And I think what's on the inside of Kevin Durant is a man in turmoil and who is ultimately not happy.
You know what this all boils down to?
I could take up $5 for the collection.
Pass it, Peter. Pass it.
This all, and you may not agree, this all boils down to LeBron James. See, I'm going to put it, hold on, let me
I gotta
take you somewhere.
Really, because I'm like, we got to hear this from the Lakers fan to LeBron James. Look, come on now.
No, he is, and I'm not blaming LeBron for this, but this is the whole, LeBron has been the best player in the league for quite some time. And for quite some time, KD has been that number two guy. We know how talented he is. KD is of the mindset that, look, he may not say it, but all the love that LeBron has just been given, because obviously it's all been warranted. He's been the best player in the league since he's gotten in the league. KD is searching. He's like, look, I'm great too. You know, why can't I get that love that he's getting? It's like he's secretly been in competition with LeBron James.
You can't get that love because you were number two. And here's the thing.
Right, I'm talking about from the standpoint of him. He's looking at it like he wants a lot of the love that he's trying to take a lot of the love that LeBron has just been placed at LeBron's feet for the longest time.
Then take a lot of the criticism that LeBron is taking as well. It comes with both.
Right.
LeBron has the haters and he has the lovers.
But that's what I'm getting to. He wants the love, but he wants you to keep the criticism. See, he wants all the good, but he doesn't want any of the bad. So every time somebody goes on social media and says something about him that's negative, he always feels as though he has to lash back because he has to validate something. he's always seeking for some level of validation.
But if you're happy with what you've accomplished, if you're happy with where your career is, if you're happy that you went to Golden State and you did help them win another title, they didn't win when you got hurt the last time, you should be happy with that. And to Houston's point, yeah, LeBron James gets a lot of love, but LeBron James has a lot of haters. Kobe Bryant had a lot of haters.
You're right.
You know, people who are on top are going to have haters. And Kobe Bryant, not to my knowledge, LeBron James, not to my knowledge, didn't have burner accounts trying to go back and go tit for tat at everybody who criticized the man. I just don't understand how you make a guy happy who could be the greatest player on the planet.
He's not happy with himself.
I'm so disappointed. Y'all sound shocked at this.
No, I'm not
Y'all
shocked.
Sound shocked.
No.
Y'all sound shocked.
No, I'm not.
You're right.
I'm not at all.
Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's me.
We sat in this exact same studio a few months ago and said Kevin Durant will never get the love that all of the rest
absolutely.
Of the Golden State Warriors
and
get.
And
they grew right. there. He flew there.
Right.
Quote, unquote. So we should not be saying exactly what Kevin Durant just was quoted as saying by home team is exactly the same thing that we said.
And quote, as time went on, I started to realize I'm just different from the rest of the guys. It's not a bad thing, just my circumstances and how I came up in the league. And on top of that, the media always looked at it like KD and the Warriors. So it's like nobody could get a full acceptance of me.
You flew there.
That's that is exactly what we said months ago before he could, before he was available and could say that quote.
Not months ago. It's been said for years. It was KD and the Warriors.
For
the moment he signed that contract, you made it into that. So why are we now having this conversation now that you're gone?
I don't think that it's not necessarily a come out and say this type of thing. It's just literally confronting the situation. Like, that was the situation. We saw that was the situation. He's just saying, yes, that was the situation, which it clearly was.
Then he's mad at Oklahoma City. That's two stops ago. Quote, I'll never be attached to that city again. I eventually wanted to come back to the city and be a part of the community and organization, but I don't trust nobody there. That bleep must have been fake. What they was doing, the organization, the GM, I ain't talked to none of those people, even had a nice exchange with those people since I left. Unquote.
Man, so hurt.
I'm about to say, that's hurt feelings, bro.
He's so hurt.
That's straight
Fans
up hurt feelings.
Fans are going to react emotionally. And GMs and owners are going to react when a superstar player walks out of the door and goes to play for the team that just knocked him out of the playoffs. You would think you would get past that. He's not past it.
I think Kevin Durant's perspective on that was Kevin Durant truly loved being in Oklahoma City.
I agree.
He donated $1 million of his own money when they had the hurricane. Excuse me, when they had the tornadoes come through. I think he thought that was his peace pipe to Oklahoma City, and that one act, among many others, would keep his name in good standing in Oklahoma City, regardless of where he went afterwards. Clearly, it's not the case, and he's hurt by that not being the case. That's what I feel like.
That is all a perception of him, because as somebody from Oklahoma and all my family are OKC fans, they're not sitting here hating on Kevin Durant.
That may be true, but if you look at what's being shown on ESPN when they're covering this story,
you have a problem with the media.
Cupcakes.
Then you have a problem with the media on exposing you the few haters or the few emotionally sensitive people who are actually going to act like that. That's not the city. That's not even the organization. They
Kevin Durant comes
decision.
Back into, I'm not sure what is it, Chesapeake Arena,
yes.
Whatever it is in OKC. Yes. He comes back in that building. Every single time going to get booed.
Of
every
course.
Single time for the rest of his career.
No. He will not get booed every single time for the rest of his career. Well, now he will because of that statement.
Oh, yes, he will.
Because he's been booed every other time he's been in there.
Because we're still only a couple years removed from the most hurtful thing that's happened to that franchise.
He has been
he's
and will be booed
that.
Every time
he's
that
not.
He steps
I
in
promise
that building.
You. There would have been, if he would not have made that statement, there would have been a point where, especially towards the end of his career, it's all open arms. We love you. We love what you did for this city.
Well, ain't that a him problem, though? If you think that everybody that walks the earth is going to worship and like and not say anything bad and like every game and like every tweet and like every move you make, if that's where he is, he's always going to be in turmoil because people on top are always going to be hated on by somebody. And he makes the good money. He's playing on good teams. He'll be in the playoffs and be in a championship conversation. I just want him to be happy and understand he is loved, and even people who don't say it respect the fact that they have somebody that they can watch that is as good as he is.
But, okay, he's at his third stop now. He's with his best friend in Kyrie Irving. Guess what? in New York. I mean, you may not be playing for the Knicks, but you are in Brooklyn. You're still in the New York market. There's going to be something that's going to happen throughout your years there. There's something that's going to come out in the media that you're not going to like.
In New York City?
In New York City with your best friend.
Let me add this factor. You want to throw some more fuel on this fire? Wait till Kevin Durant sees the warm welcome that Russell Westbrook gets when he comes back in that building.
Oh, my goodness.
That's going to add 10,000 tons of fuel to that fire.
He's going to
burn
alive.
Inside. That's going to hurt Kevin Durant inside when he sees how the standing ovation that Russell Westbrook is going to get in a couple months. That's going to tear him up inside.
It sounds to me like he really needs to start to look on the inside and take accountability for his actions and what it may have caused. What has been the outlash from him deciding to move to the team that took them out when they were up 3-1? That hurt them, and so they lashed out at you. I promise you, them people are getting over it. They let Russell Westbrook go like it was okay and gave him a good send off. They love him there. You didn't get that. Why? Because of how you did it. If you would have made better decisions in the beginning, then you wouldn't have to be dealing with this mess now. You wouldn't have to be thinking about the haters. But you're always in your own head. And since you're always in your own head, you're like you said, you're never going to get rid of the turmoil.
He's sensitive. He's just sensitive. He's a great player. He's great for the game. He's going to be an all-time great. First ballot Hall of Famer, he's sensitive. So, and I don't know how you fix that for anybody, let alone a grown man who is one of the best who will ever do it.
He has to learn to put on the blinders, and if he only wants the love and the accolades, then he only needs to look at that stuff.
He's not going to do that.
I know he's not.
Well, then he's going to be continuously turmoiled on the inside of himself, and I just hope you shouldn't walk the earth like that. And I hate that somebody has to feel like that when they are living the best life you could possibly live.
I told you money don't heal everything.
No, yeah. Money doesn't fix all the problems.
It don't fix
So then what is it? Because it's going to go down to what is it in his past that's got him to be this emotional.
He has to answer for that. I don't know if we can speculate.
I'm not trying to be Dr. Phil, but like right. That's really what it
he's
comes
had a
down
different
to.
Upbringing, a tough upbringing, but a lot of other guys have too. He's had a lot of criticism, and now he's got an injury, and a lot of guys have too. So I don't want to dismiss if there's something going on, dismiss that. But how is that any different from anybody else who's had obstacles in their lives that they've had to overcome? Some people overcome their circumstances. I think he has too, but he doesn't seem to be happy with it.
Let it be shown. It looks like he has because all the obstacles from growing up, yeah, being poor, single family home, all that stuff, you overcame it. You can't look at that to try and figure out how to overcome what all this is talk.
Yeah.
This isn't even really hardship. This is just talk from millions of people that you don't even know.
The man wants to be liked. He wants to be liked by every soul that comes in an NBA arena, and that's just not going to happen.
Good luck with that.
I think Kevin Durant is going to try and set his career high against Oklahoma City at some point in his career.
I think you're right.
He's going to come into Chesapeake, whip out a knife, and he's slitting everybody's throats going for 65, 70 points.
Going into the fourth quarter, Kevin Durant with 70.
Right, exactly.
That's, that's perfectly fine because that makes for a heck of a game.
But you know what?
That makes for a piece of history.
When he does do that, I hope that he's able to take that moment and now seal up and close the door on all that stuff that's gone on.
What if you wishing and hoping?
One regular season win. Exactly. That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
Rich Paul, thinking about dabbling outside of the NBA but not leaving it, maybe expanding his sports wares into the NFL, where his agency is looking to maybe get into the NFL. I think it's a wise move. See what kind of feelers you can get out there. See if you can get a couple of clients. As an NBA agent, certainly you're going to have some cachet with your name recognition. And NFL, there are plenty of agents who don't have superstar players. If you have a nice stable of guys that you can represent, get good contracts, get people to trust you, you can build up a good roster of guys. So I think this is a good idea. See where he goes. And again, all he's got to do is own the business, find the right people who can negotiate contracts, build him a good stable, and see where that takes him. I'm not against him. We'll see where it ends up.
I'm not even sure where to go with this because I don't know. In my own head, I thought that was the plan a long time ago. You're going to branch it out and take on more industries. So I like the move. I don't see how it's necessarily going to affect the NFL or right. maybe a couple players' pockets, but real talk, I don't think it's going to generate that type of effect. That's really going to amount to anything. It works better in the NBA, I think, because you have a lesser client pool. Like you could grab from more great talent because there's only so much. Everybody's pretty good. Whereas with the NFL, you go to these agencies, they're not going to throw you their top talent. They're going to throw you the guys who are the number 50, 51, 52 man on the roster.
And also with the NFL, guys are a little bit more expendable. You're looking at Melvin Gordon. Is Melvin Gordon better than Austin Eckler? Yes. But Austin Eckler can work within the confines of that offense because right. of what that offense is based around. It's based around pretty much the quarterback. I can have Austin Eckler who may not be as talented, but is still serviceable enough.
Right.
So whereas in the NBA, it's a star-driven league, the drop down from the position that Kevin Durant plays to the person that's backing him up is tremendous. So the talent gap is a lot wider in the NFL, so the leverage may not necessarily be as great for a lot of agents because owners can be like, yeah, okay, he wants this level of guaranteed money. We're not going to give him to him because I know I got this backup who I'm paying a whole lot less who can get somewhat to the same level of job done.
And I know NFL agents that have, you know, four clients and they're able to, you know, live their lives as an agent. None of them are superstar players. And I know an agent that has one superstar agent, one superstar player, and then the rest of his roster, they aren't superstars. So there are different ways you can be successful in the NFL. There are differences. NFL contracts a little bit more complicated. To your point, B-Dog, you know, your players aren't as valued because they can be cut and they don't last as long, whereas the NBA is a smaller kind of a boutique sport and guys make more money and the contracts aren't as difficult to negotiate. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up if it becomes fact, and you know, if he's able to be successful, I wouldn't be against Rich Paul, especially if he opens up something that, you know, is very positive and, you know, does something to give people more jobs.
Go make that money.
Multiple streams of revenue. Hey, never been a bad thing.
But it will be interesting to see, you know, how this unfolds and, you know, who the agency represents and how they go about negotiating things when these contracts and are up and it's time to renegotiate. Because I'm pretty sure, you know, this is not the last we'll be hearing of such things.
I think he's going to get him a couple of, like, you know, I guess the mediocre players at first. I think he's really going to start looking into the upcoming talent coming out of college.
It may not be mediocre. He has a reputation now. And you got a lot of guys who are willing to part ways. They're seeing what he's done with some of these NBA guys. And they're hoping that at some point in time that can work with them. And some of these star players may leave some of their representation to go to Rich Paul and Clutch Sports.
The only thing I will say is he's got an incredible start. So he's unique in that he works with LeBron James. And right. So I don't want to take away from him. But if you have LeBron James and then AD wants to go with you, that's not a bad place to be.
It's not.
So he's got some things that other guys don't have. How is that going to translate to a guy who's coming out of college in the NFL and they're looking for their deal and they're not connected to those guys or have those relationships? Those would be the questions that I would have.
The ownership a little different in the NFL.
If Lil Wayne and Young Money are representing players in the NFL, there's no reason that Rich Paul
absolutely.
And Clutch
absolutely.
Sports
absolutely.
Should not be.
Absolutely.
me as a college guy, I would want to, like, because that's the name that everybody seems to have on their tongue now is Rich Paul. If I could get a meeting with him to see if he's can represent me as a prospect coming to the NFL, I would actually want to sit down with him probably before a lot of other guys because I see what type of game-changing moves he's made in this level. I just keep my fingers crossed that he's able to do something in the NFL. I don't know what we're really looking for outside of him just getting guys paid.
Like, I mean, you got access to different types of assets. I mean, different type. I can get you in this building that this other agent couldn't get you in. I can get you in front of different types of people, expose you to different types of industries to make multiple streams of revenue at that point. That's why it becomes valuable.
And another thing is the reason why the LeBron aspect is so great in ties to Rich Paul is that a lot of these kids coming up, if you look at a lot of the stars, whether it be NBA or whatever, you look at a lot of the stars that they look up to, LeBron James is still the guy.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me that I could be represented with a guy that's on the right hand side of the guy that I've been looking up to for quite some time.
Right.
Oh yeah, let's get this work.
Similar to why Lil Wayne is successful. He's got a roster.
Yeah.
I think Wayne and Young Money have I think they got 15 players in the NFL.
Yeah. Right.
And you can't tell me that Lil Wayne's cachet as who he is not a part of that.
And then Lil Wayne's Young Money Enterprise also. They also employ the first African American female who's represented a top three pick,
and
Nicole Lynn. She represents
Williams. Quinn Williams. Yep.
So that's a lot of history, a lot of moves being made there, and so to see Rich Paul trying to, you know, dabble into the NFL, hey, it's my money.
I like it because it really is showing that hey, you don't have to come from well educated and have all the money in the world. You find yourself in the right situations and you make the right decisions, the sky's the limit for you. So hopefully there is probably, because not everybody wants to be an actual professional athlete. Some people, like I have my cousin, wants to represent athletes. This is a good person to look up to say, hey, I didn't have the formal education, but I was still able to get her and get it. So really anything is possible.
I think a big part of what we'll see moving forward is entertainment and sports, those circles kind of starting to overlap even more.
I think they already have. Well,
they've been even more.
It's colliding even more to where it's going to become a point to where it's hard to tell the difference outside of
field. In a way, sports is entertainment.
But I think for a while it's almost kind of been hard to tell the difference when you got a guy like Lil Wayne who has dabbled in sports. Master P has dabbled in sports. That goes back so far when
Eric Anderson.
When Master P actually put on a jersey and played. Like, right. Master P is not a basketball player. He is a rapper who was playing basketball. So when you see stuff like that, those circles have crossed quite a bit.
Percy might tell you different than that.
That's cool. I mean, Percy,
I did have that game for the Raptors back in the day.
Cool, but I mean, we ain't seeing him like, you know, I'm just, like I ain't this. Knocking him, but you know.
Rap helped him make more money, but the basketball was always his love.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I ain't knocking him for that, but you know, those circles have been, obviously even more now, but those circles have been intertwining for quite some time.
Speaking of the Raptors and back when Percy Miller played, that jersey back in the day was hot. That Raptors jersey with the pinstripes.
Old school Raptors.
Oh, yeah, the old school Raptors jersey.
What are some of the favorite old school jerseys you like? I'm a Hawk fan, so I love the Pac-Man logo.
Yeah,
Pac-Man logo was always every now and then, but the Pac-Man logo is kind of cool. You know, when you watch them growing up, it's just kind of what you had. But now that you look back on it, I think they still stand the test of time.
You got the jerseys like the old Magic's jersey.
Yeah.
The old Phoenix Suns jerseys. I just think those jerseys back then, they just had so much more flavor to them, so much more pop to them than a lot of jerseys do now. I mean, I jerseys are cool now for the times, but when you start to really look back at, you know, especially in the 90s, it's like, bruh.
Think about, like, the Denver Nuggets had basically what, to me as a kid at the time, looked like a rainbow across their jersey. And it was eye-popping, so I loved that jersey. And when I see it now, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to get the right kicks to go with that.
Man, there's so many coming back, too. So you got Cleveland is bringing back the old Mark Price, the ones with, like, the jagged edges looking jersey.
Yeah.
I always liked that one. It was kind of different, but I always liked the baby blue with the orange. I like that one. Charlotte's bringing back the original with the pinstripes as well. So I love seeing all the old-school flavor coming back. But I think my very favorite is Memphis, where they bringing back the OG Grizzlies from the Sharif days, man. That was, man. I used to be a big time Sharif fan growing up in Cobb County. So when he ended up over on the Grizzlies, I was all in, man.
Bulls still have the pinstripe black jerseys that they used to wear back in the 90s?
I can't remember them wearing that in a while.
I can't remember them pulling that one out in a minute. Okay.
It only makes sense, though, because the more jerseys you had, the more people will go and buy.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
if you kept
your jersey the same for 5 or 6 years, that's why the NBA has always been ahead of the curve like that. It takes NFL teams a while to make transitions, but every 2-3 years when, you know, the Mavericks were the first team that I remember, and the Nets were the first teams, you know, kind of switching out, because the more jerseys you have, the more people going to want to buy the new one.
And also, if your team was good back in the day with those old jerseys, it takes the pain off how bad they are now. You start reminiscing even more.
you see a lot of supersonic jerseys out there in the streets too, man. I used to be a huge fan of that one too, man.
Hate to do it, to bring it back to football again, but those, and y'all seen the pictures that people post of the supposed new jerseys that these teams are going to have, where like they switch up the colors or they'll combine the college team colors with the NFL logo and stuff. What? Why isn't that they don't indulge in that?
They're slow and conservative and behind the curve on everything.
You got to keep I think in the NFL you have to keep your jersey for, I want to say, 7 years before you're
rule?
Even before you're even eligible to go into redesigning. You have to keep it for a certain length of time in the NFL.
You know, one jersey concept I think I've talked to y'all about that I wish they would do out in LA, and I don't know if they'll do it because of street activity, but you know, the Lakers should have the, just like the Lakers had the Laker blue jerseys at one point in time, the Lakers should have a blue Crenshaw jersey, and the Clippers should have the red Crenshaw jersey. And every time that they play the Clash of LA, they should wear those jerseys as they go up against each other. But I can also see that
thing might get ugly in Staples.
Yeah, I can see that not happening because of other ties outside the Staples Center.
Nipsey has showed us we don't need that no more. It's good. We can get them to go do that.
True. No, you still got some. You got unity, but you still got some OGs that ain't with the unity thing.
Well, that'll do it for this episode, episode 32 of the Drop Step Podcast. You can check it out on iTunes, Spotify, and Shaq Fu Radio. Shout out to Shaq and Shaq Fu Radio. We'll be back next week to talk about the upcoming NBA season as we're right around the corner from training camp, and it should be interesting to see what teams have going. For Book the Hook, for Houston and B-Dog Brandon Harper, I'm Home Team. We'll see you next time on the Drop Step Podcast.
We out. Peace.
Already. Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.